This is the world of Salesforce and Dropbox, HubSpot and Evernote, a world unthinkable without cloud software services. Most businesses and consumers use SaaS every day to get work done. Driven by the internet and ever-expanding availability of bandwidth, SaaS has come to dominate our lives in a very short span of time. But developing a defining service, often ahead of its time, getting users to engage, secure funding, protect IP, and building a truly remarkable and successful SaaS is not an easy task. SaaS Stories brings conversations with the dreamers and visionaries who dared to think ahead. How they built their SaaS, genesis, struggles, trials, tribulations, and eventually success.
Welcome to SaaS Stories. Thank you for your time and for joining us on this session. I have a favor to ask. While you continue to listen to the podcast, please leave a comment or rating at iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts from. I personally look at each comment and will give a shout out to each of you in our next episodes. It means a lot to hear from you. Welcome to this exciting new episode of SaaS Stories. Today we have with us Jagat Iyer, founder and CEO of Vitphone.
We are secure by design. And I think that's very important. I think the days of downloading an application or a client should have been long gone. We're all SaaS founders here, and I think we should understand that SaaS itself means no download. It's off the browser. And secure by design, I mean that it's not about what encryption we use in our conferencing technology. It's really about what are our founding principles around which we build this. Do we value privacy at a very fundamental level? Do we value ethics at a very fundamental level? And we take a high ground here, though the technology is not easy. Like if you look at, for example, a Skype or you look at a Zoom or even a Meet today, you may click on a link, but they're always forcing you to download a client onto your local desktop. And they do that so that they can obviously get a lot more access into your system, optimize the performance. But it comes at a significant risk. But we build this around secure by design as a big philosophy. And the reason is that we need to open this up to external communications. And what I mean by that is that still on let's say I can only if I'm on Zoom, I can call you on Zoom. Only if I'm on Meet, I can call you on Meet. That's still a problem today. That's not changed. Bitphone, we are still the only people who don't need to download anything. Click a button, you're in.
Jagat is the founder and CEO of Vitphone, a video communications platform that helps startups, SMBs, and large organizations grow their business using proprietary video business models. Vitphone is an award-winning startup incubated at NASSCOM 10,000 Startups and funded by investors from Harvard, Google, KPMG, Ernst & Young, Flipkart, amongst others. Jagat has over 15 years of experience in technology, boutique digital transformation, consumer and enterprise web across various sectors. He's an alumni of NIT Prayagraj, an avid guitarist and amateur golfer. He cares deeply about various social issues around education and food security. His personal mission is to help a million entrepreneurs build cutting-edge video-first startups presently in India and soon around the world. Now, on to this information-rich episode with Jagat Iyer. Jagat, welcome to SaaS Stories. It has been a while since we have been trying to talk to you, and I'm glad that you could make time. Welcome.
Thank you, Shivan. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
So, I know about Vitphone, and that's how we met. But tell me a little bit of background. What brought you to this Vitphone story?
I've been in the digital space now for 10 years, since 2010. I think one of the things that we realized, we spent almost 8 years in the business and running a profitable business at the end of about 8 years. And done work with some of the largest companies on the planet. We were, doing digital transformation work for companies like Underwriters Laboratories, companies like, DTZ, Cushman & Wakefield, Rentokil Initial, the largest political party in India. So I had done a lot of marquee work in digital transformation for between about 2012 to 2016-17. And prior to that, I was, as some people may know, we launched, probably India's first social commerce platform way back in 2010. This is before the whole mobile Android era. This was the desktop era. And that's where it really started. So my journey in the digital / technology space here in India has been since, officially as a founder of a company from 2010. always been part of it even since earlier times, 2005, because I've always been into, you know, even my college building websites, blogs, and always being involved, right? So I think what we realized after you know, almost about 7 years working with some of the large companies is that today the best businesses are not about the best products or services, you know. It's about the best customer experience. And this really came to us after, you know, work with some really, really large organizations. And I would say the kind of work we did, today it's, you know, kind of called digital transformation, but this we have been doing since 2012. And it was a kind of really, you know, great revelation for us, saying that today when you look at any industry, the delta between, let's say, 1 and 2 is probably 10%. And in terms of the product or service, there's not really much, too much they can differentiate in terms of the product or service alone. And customer experience is the name of the game. And when we look at customer experience, and it got me thinking, and I looked at customer experience, it really depends on the customer communication. This is all customer experience, you know, the main medium is about. And if you look at customer communication, if you look at business communication, for example, we'd say that email and phone have been kind of the, you know, anchors of business communication. Of course, later on you had social as well, which became a big channel. And it became very clear to me that video chat or video communications would become the communication medium of the future. And this was back in, let's say, 2016, you know, 16, 17, when I started really dabbling with video communications. Because we are outsiders to the video communication space. We've been in technology and done a lot of work around, you know, building products, doing distribution, design for about 7 years before that. But we were new to video communications as a technology. It's quite different and very, very exciting. And back in 2016, 17, I'm talking of the pre-4G era. And video communications really was about, you know, the real two big names back then. You look at the market, it was really probably Hangouts and Skype, right? There was no real Zoom. Zoom had not kind of made it the way it has, you know, people know today. Obviously, there was no Google Meet. There was no, you know, Microsoft Teams, etc. So, and to me, you know, why video was that? I did some research and I found out that, you know, less than 10% of India knows English. The number was something like 7%. And we look at this whole, you know, read-write, you know, the English web. And we'll say that this is all about text content. It's about text information. Of course, there has been a school of thought for a long time which has believed in, let's say, translation as the solution that you would have in Bengali, in Tamil, you would have in Kannada. But of course, it's, you know, harder than it seems. Apparently, it's not that easy. We have been, you know, doing this for a long time. So you need to change the game sometimes. So it became voice. There is, you know, if you look at any remote place in India, crores worth of business happens almost on a daily basis in their own local language. And that's only on voice. And when you look at video like this, this you know, changes the whole equation by a big way. And I felt that in India, there was a huge opportunity here. And India as a country really needed this, because I look at video communications as a form of, let's say, productivity. Again, it's a productivity medium. And it opens up the whole economy for India. Not only India, but of course, this will be going globally. Today, we are seeing this thanks to the pandemic, of course. So around 2016, 17 is when I started really dabbling around video chat. I launched India's first video chat application in May 2016. This was before Google Duo, using the same technology that they had. And we put it out. We were, of course, new to it. We got a lot of traction back then as a consumer application. Learned a lot. Then, of course, Google launched Duo a couple of months later. 4 months after that, WhatsApp launched video chat. So it became very clear to me that the consumer is ready for video chat. And one of the most important things is that businesses typically follow consumer trends. If you look at it, email was a consumer phenomenon. It was not a business tool. Then the businesses really adopted it and it became a mainstream medium. Similarly with phone, even social media was a consumer phenomenon. And then consumers flock there, businesses come, and it becomes a business tool. So the same pattern we are seeing repeating in video. Video became a consumer phenomenon. Before, it was restricted to boardrooms, you know, the Polycom, Ciscos of the world. But when you bring that down to the consumer level, And that happened in, I'd say, 2016, 17, when it really started happening. And it was a wonderful thing to happen because it was due for a long time. We've always associated video communication. You know, I remember my father introduced me to Star Trek back in the day. William Shatner, Star Trek, the old one. Leonard Nimoy. A big fan. I'm really a big fan of Star Trek. And the moment you look at Star Trek, the first thing that you see is that they're in the space, in the Enterprise, and there is video communications, video conferencing. For a long time, video conferencing has been what sci-fi and the future is about.
Yeah.
And today, we are living that future today. So that made us think, and I was very convinced that there is no question now that all of business or a really large percentage of business over the next 5 years, back then, 2018, was going to be on video. And we said, okay, that's when we were also invited by NASSCOM, 10,000 startups, to join their incubation facility. And subsequently after that, we also raised our round of funding from angels, which I can talk about it later. So this has been the overall journey. Bitphone, of course, is an evolution of our initial consumer video chat application, where we said that let the big guys handle the consumer side of it. Good that WhatsApp and Duo came. Of course, today Duo is no more. That we said there's a huge space in opportunity with the businesses. And I can get to more details, but that's a quick introduction as to the story.
Great. So before I continue on the thread of Bitphone, I want to go back to the social commerce bit of 2010. What were you trying to do at that time and what were your learnings from that?
When I was in Allahabad, I did my engineering at NIT Allahabad, which is called Motilal Nehru National Institute of Technology. In the up north, they used to call it as MNREC, maybe the olden days. And it's an amazing place because my college was the first college in India to have computer science, to teach computer science, even before the IITs. And they have two supercomputers there, the Param, I think, 8000 and Param 8080. They were iconic kind of symbols. So I've always been into computer science. And what I saw was when I was, I moved, I'm Bangalorean, right? I moved from Bangalore, did my engineering in UP. So 46-hour train journey. I don't know if people are aware, but you typically go to Chennai, and from Chennai you change trains. So in the train, when I was going, people used to, some of the locals, the UP people would ask me in Hindi, they would say, sir, sare log UP se Bangalore ja rahe hain, Bangalore se UP ja rahe hain. So it was a kind of a culture shock for me at that time. And I found a lot of solace in the internet. And, back in 2004, 2005, we had 100 Mbps LAN in our hostels. And that was like the only thing good happening at that time, in a remote place, big difference from here. And my dream was that India, we're looking at all these applications. We had Orkut, we had, a lot of other, really nice applications coming out, the Web 2.0 era back then. And it was quite amazing at that time, right? So one of the main things was that how can we have people who are using social, and by social I mean, of course, social networking or the concepts of social networking and bring together commerce or e-commerce in a way where today we can call it influencer marketing. This is something like what we were attempting back then, where people could have their own profiles. It's something like having a Facebook profile, but you get paid for all of your content because you are able to refer your products. Let's say I have a profile and you're visiting my profile, and let's say I'm a guitarist, and I can have, let's say, a guitar ad there, and if a visitor clicks on it, I get a small cut of it, right? It's like very classical affiliate marketing kind of model. And it all comes together when you look at the whole concept of word of mouth marketing. So this was the loose idea around which we started. Of course, there was no thesis like we have today of startups, lean startup. Today, everything seems to be a process, though it's not. I will get to that later. But we really didn't have those things in place. We had to, we were on the earliest proponents of Django here in India. We had to, back in the day, build every single button. So social commerce to me was that. And we called it, it's a place where you're basically for customers and businesses to engage based on their social profiles, interests, and location. Right? This was our elevator pitch back then. We had thousands of users. I would say thousands of users back in the day on the web. It's not the Android era at all. And hundreds of businesses in Bangalore. In fact, we had almost nearly 500 businesses back in 2010-11. I had signed up personally and signed up these people. So consumers could go onto a platform called everycrave.com. It was back then. I wouldn't say the domain now because it's a different thing today. It's our company website. We kind of changed it. But you just go there as a box. And we say it's a Crave box. So I want lunch in Indiranagar. You would put that in. And in real time, there would be restaurants in Indiranagar who are responding with their own custom offers. And then you can avail these. And then the moment you buy it, you can start retailing these on your profile. And so let's say I like, I don't know, XYZ company, XYZ restaurant, I have eaten there. And if my friends see that I've eaten there and they avail from my profile, I get a cut out of it. And I felt this was a great way that people could, you know, based on their interests, they could make some part-time money because it's always been important for people in India. And that's how it started. Very, very loose kind of framework around which we started this play. There was nobody like us doing this in India, probably even around the world. There was only a company called Referly, which was from Y Combinator back in 2010-11, who I think did it. Well, learnings, a lot of learnings, right? You realize, number one, that on-demand economy works only after Android and mobiles came. You can't have it on a laptop. You know, it's a huge change. We really cannot... I cannot imagine what actually I was thinking back then, you know, to say that you click a button. It was actually get what you need, do what you love. This was the theme that we had. Number one is that, yes, you need to put some bounds on imagination sometimes. I think that was a big learning for me. Yes, it is a utopian ideal world that I just sit here and I wake up in the morning and I'm seeing money that's hit my account because of people buying my stuff, which was the affiliate marketing dream back then. But to make it happen in India is probably, there's not the right time. I learned a lot of stuff in terms of initial product development. I think those are early days for me, around marketing, around sales. You know, I know every single business back in the, you know, the JNC Road in Koramangala, your, you know, Barbecue Nation Road, from the Domlur flyover. Those are in Bangalore will know Domlur flyover right until KFC. I've spoken to every business on the left and right back in 2010-11, going to each of them and signing them up. Taught me a lot. Said India was not ready at all. People were talking digital and all of this stuff, but it's taken now 10 years for that to happen. So that was a huge learning, social commerce. And I think Flipkart probably in 2015-16 tried something like Ping. They had a concept called Ping, which was loosely social commerce. I wouldn't really agree. Now there are some companies, again, doing something called social commerce. I think we have to see how that pans out.
Okay, so back to Witphone. Tell me, where are you today in terms of how many customers do you have? What kind of customers are they? How many companies? How many end users? What kind of usage do you see? So bring us up to speed on Witphone.
Right. So Witphone, where we are today, 100,000 users, 100 plus businesses. Average time that an individual uses our platform today is nearly 2 hours a day. As you can see, anybody who gets onto a video call is like typically an hour, 2 hours. People who 2-3, and the numbers really add up. These are the high-level numbers that we share publicly. Over the past 6 months, obviously, we've seen, I talk to some people and I say that I'm probably one of the few guys who's having literally $5 trillion competition against us today. We have every business of note, and only the largest companies on the planet are able to build this kind of communications technology. Of course, you had a company in India also who tried it. There was a lot of media noise around it recently, but I think everyone knows the result. It's not that easy. This is not about just having capital. This is about actually going and doing work in that field for a few years. So over the past 6 months, things have changed. Definitely when you look at large companies who come in and say that the product's going to be free for a long time, it affects our revenue model, no doubt about it. But that being said, we have areas where we are clearly, where we are focusing on our monetization. And that looks to be something that's paying off well for us. We have some other updates, as I shared with you probably a couple of days ago, where I think today it's no more about just video conferencing or webinars. It's become as commoditized as which email I use or which phone service I use. It really doesn't matter whether you use, you know, Airtel or Jio or Vodafone. End of the day, we're in the call done. I think video communications also has got commoditized. Whether it's with phone, whether people use Meet, whether people use Zoom or Teams. In fact, Teams and Meet are very, very similar principles as with phone. As you know, browser-based WebRTC technology, which we launched nearly a year before either of them actually did it. Today, our focus is how do we make that gap 3 to 5 years that even if we have a product today, even the largest companies in the world will take 3 years to build out what we have. So I think it's work in progress. We thought that pre-pandemic that we were really onto something. We still are onto something, but it's got validated by these large businesses really coming in and really going all in into this particular space. So I would say that we are in a unique position. I don't see any business today in the world which is in this kind of a scenario, especially to do with video communications commerce, because everything is around just video conferencing and webinars today. And we have seen that happen since really March, that really happened, that it's become mainstream. Video conferencing was always there at some level, but it's become mainstream today, just like telephone or in fact, more than telephone and email. So that's where we are, but I think where we are going is more important.
It's time for a short break. I asked Jagat in the intensely competitive video communication landscape how his priorities have changed as a result of the impact of COVID. Jagat was super candid in his response. Stay with us. You are listening to a Business Podcast Network original. Podcasting is the fastest growing content marketing opportunity, which is untapped. We can help you craft your audio strategy and help leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that the smartphone penetration provides. It is easy, it is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to your targets like never before. Write to us at bpn@bizcast.in. That is bpn@bizcast.in. Business Podcast Network. Podcasts end to end. Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host for SaaS Stories and founder of PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. Right before the break, I asked Jagat what type of changes to his plan did he have to make due to the impact of COVID. Here is what he had to say.
So my question to you is, I mean, you had some assumptions pre-COVID, right? The kind of markets that you are trying to attack. And obviously things have changed post-COVID. So what is the change that you have made as a founder to the path that Witphone is embracing?
I mean, I must confess, and I'll be very honest about this, that not too many things have changed in terms of the customer and the way that I see this being used. That has not changed. What has changed is that, yes, we do have a lot more competition today, direct competition than what we had envisioned, let's say, last year. You know, that's a big change that's happened. And one thing that I will just get to the philosophies around which we built Witphone. First, of course, is that we are secure by design. And I think that's very important. I think the days of downloading an application or a client should have been long gone. We're all SaaS founders here, and I think we should understand that SaaS itself means no download. It's off the browser. And what that allows you to do, and secure by design, I mean that it's not about what encryption we use in our conferencing technology. It's really about what are our founding principles around which we build this. Do we value privacy at a very fundamental level? Do we value ethics at a very fundamental level? And we take a high ground here, though the technology is not easy. Like if you look at, for example, a Skype, or you look at a Zoom, or even a Meet today, you may click on a link, but they're always forcing you to download a client onto your local desktop. And they do that so that they can obviously get a lot more access into your system, optimize the performance. But it comes at a significant risk that it could always be snooping in the background. You know, even when I press that red button, the call is not actually off. And I think all of us are aware of the kind of ads that people see, and you know, those don't need to be kind of detailed. These are well-known things. People putting a tape on the camera is not going to solve too many things. Some people still do it. But we build this around secure by design as a big philosophy. And the reason is that we need to open this up to external communications. And what I mean by that is that still on you know, let's say I can only if I'm on Zoom, I can call you on Zoom. Only if I'm on Meet, I can call you on Meet. That's still a problem today. It's not cross-platform, it's not agnostic that way. So that's not changed. Witphone, we are still the only people who don't need to download anything. Click a button, you're in. And another thing to do with the ease of use, of course, I said you have today a permanent ID, let's say a phone number or an email, which is it's permanent. I can call you on your number or email without it being preceded by some communication. Today, that's not happening in video communications. Before every video conference is always scheduled. How will you have ubiquitous video communications if you always have to, if it has to be preceded by phone or email? So philosophically, we believe that people have an authentication link, vidphone.me/Subhanshan, vidphone.me/Jagat, very much like our phone number or email, that anybody can click a button and call you. So still that's not changed. In fact, all the other platforms, it's like, you know, people on Airtel only being able to call Airtel. People on Jio only able to call Jio. That significantly restricts what happens. The bigger thing that happens, that's great for internal communications. Our focus has always been that this is not a platform for internal communication. That's what conferencing has always been about. It's been about internal communications. It's never been with customers, typically. And with having an open architecture, our focus was that this becomes a place where customers and businesses can talk face-to-face. Build rapport, build trust, do sales, etc. So that's still not changed. I still don't see, you know, external communications happening the way that phone or email happens. So that's still not changed. Third thing is, of course, the full suite nature of our platform. Typically, you have conferencing companies and webinar companies are doing different things. They were different. Very few companies, let's say, for example, a Zoom, are offering both together, which I think is why one of the reasons why they're successful is that they're a full suite communications company. For us, still, we've always focused on both the one-on-one and the group calling. There's the video conferencing aspect, as well as the webinar aspect of it, the live stream broadcasting aspect of it. So, and affordability, of course, right? We have always thought that video conferencing has been kind of more expensive than it should be because the costs were high. Video is expensive and data, you know, storage costs are high, computation costs are high. That price point has to come down from what it was to, let's say, a voice communication price point, which loosely I would say, you know, something like, let's say you're doing $15 a month or $20 a month on conferencing, pre-COVID, I would say, approximate rates. And if you look at a normal, let's say an Indian who's recharging a prepaid voice call, it's probably 300 rupees a month. So it had to come down from $10 to $15 a month down to
like $4 a month.
$4 or $5, exactly. And that was a big thing. That's what we believe, that it democratized video communications, but to make it accessible to everybody. But times have changed today. What's happened is, of course, there is a lot of freebies in the market. We will get to that in a separate conversation with all of the antitrust issues that the large companies are having. I think that's a long discussion about what the practices are going on.
Sure.
Unfortunately, that's the reality. And some things have changed, some things have not. But I would say mostly things have changed in the positive, because these large companies have done a lot of category selling for us. They have kind of sold video conferencing, and we don't need to do that. Our goal is now to help. What we always do is to help customers and businesses come together, very specifically for startup founders today. As you know, I'm extremely passionate about startup founders, and we want to help and make that whole difference happen. So I think generally it's in a positive direction.
So tell me, how is your go-to market working out right now? You have acquired a sizable number of customers. 100,000 is not a number you can easily achieve. So hats off to that. But what is it that is working for you, A, in terms of acquiring these customers, B, in terms of actually engaging with startups, which seems to be your large focus?
So video conferencing is a very interesting business. When you look at a lot of the new, I would say past 10 years, there's been a lot of evolution around product development in startups, right? The concept of MVP and concept of, build, measure, learn loops, having, agile product development plus agile marketing happening parallelly. Typically, and I've done, this is probably my 50th product in the past 10 years that I have built, whether it's part of in-house or for customers, 50 to 60 products. Video communications is that only one of the few businesses which is a zero-sum game. There is no frills here. You can have let's say what I call a CRUD product, where it's a bunch of, fields database, and you have a set of features. If small feature doesn't work, it's fine. No one's going to worry about it. And you'd say, okay, it's just an MVP. You should use the product, get feedback. But the thing with video communication is extremely zero-sum game. It's just that the video has to work brilliantly all the time, no matter what. And that is the hardest thing about video communications. It's extremely difficult. And you mix the fact that India, we have not the greatest networks. We have really bad devices, average kind of low-level Android, which is the most common. And we do not kind of force the user to download an application. What we realized is that video conferencing is also one of those very few B2B solutions that is inherently viral. You have very few business products that are viral. Typically, virality is a consumer phenomenon. And video conferencing, and that's the, one of the reasons that you will see the explosion of all video communications companies in the past 6 months, is because virality is built into conferencing. If I need to use this product, I need to invite somebody. And that's very, very unique to this. And what works in video conferencing? As you know, we don't do much marketing. I think everyone knows that we don't kind of go gung-ho and, you know, do a lot of campaigns and all of this stuff, right? Even when the whole announcement happened around the government's requirement, there were a lot of opportunistic Indian companies who thought that they would just jump in and make some quick money. It was quite hilarious to watch everybody's camper. And so much of press, you know, even before they have their application, they would have the media article and have people come there and people just say, hey, what is this? Say namaste, say bye-bye, right? And that is very important. I think what's worked for us is just make sure the product works 100% brilliantly. Taken a lot of work. Today, we see that happen. I think yesterday we tried the call. I'd love your experience. I mean, how was it?
It was great.
You'll see that, right? Yeah. So you would see that. You would see that it's comparable today to any international company. In fact, it's a lot easier. You don't need to download anything. Click a button. Boom, you're in. It's a permanent ID. Taken a lot of work for us to do. So that really is what works for us. People, someone attends a webinar of one of our customers, they come back and sign up also, probably as a conferencing user or as a webinar user and use it. And for each webinar, you know, hundreds of people are joining in. So there is so much of virality in this product. Anybody who comes in, then they come here, you know, I attend this webinar, I just logged in and I want this help. How do I do this? It's an amazing kind of experience. I have not seen such kind of customer love in anything. I mean, and I've done a few kind of things, you know, be it large enterprise, being working with startups, being it even other non-tech businesses. But the kind of customer love that you see in video communications is quite unbelievable. If people like what you do, today morning I got calls from, you know, people in Coimbatore, you'll not believe. And these are, you know, she's like a 70-year-old lady and they have their whole music class happening on VidPhone. They were doing it on Zoom. And they found out somehow, we have some articles out there and some people covered us and the word spreads. And they're like, hey, you know, she's called me up. She's like, Jagat, you know, it's a wonderful platform. We tried it. It's just, you don't have to download anything. And that was amazing. I woke up at 7:30 and I'm like, okay, this is amazing. And they said, no, can you tell me, some people, you know, we're doing this class right now and they're in a bad network. So if they remove their video, would they kind of save bandwidth? And she's 70. Year old lady asking me this stuff, right? It's just an amazing experience. What works for us, I think so far, yes, as you know, two main things. One, product focus. If video conferencing, if the video goes bad, or we have no excuse at all, because the customer doesn't care that we are a startup and all of our competition are $1 trillion companies. They do not care and they should not care. And that's been the way that we have approached this as well. Pixel to pixel, are we able to match the largest companies? That's critical product. We're still not there. Still work in progress, I would say. There are still a lot of things that are coming up. We'll always get better. And the second thing is, of course, I think I have been in the industry for a while, as you know. It's been about 10 years now. And we have deep relationships, be it with people in the startup ecosystem, be it at the enterprises. There are people who are very, very kind and who kind of appreciate what we do, and we have delivered value to them. So these are always people that we go to and we kind of get feedback. And if they like what we do, they spread the word. And these are the two things I think that's worked very well for us. Intense product focus and be good.
So anything specific that you're doing to reach out to startups? So your paying customers are startups today. Is that correct assumption?
We do, of course. There is a range, not only startups. Startups, of course, are our number one focus. And I tell you why. I'll get to that a little bit later. Of course, we have opportunities from a lot of enterprises who want to do very, very custom kind of solutions around retail, around healthcare, around edtech, around even automobile sales. I have a company in France who we are working with, where we're transforming automobile sales. You don't need to go to a showroom, car showroom, to go and buy a product. You can sit in the house, click a button here, talk to the car showroom, the sales executive with the showroom, and show the car, see the car, shortlist it, do your documentation. So there are a lot of enterprises as well. There are startups as well. I am intensely focused right now on startups, and I think it's kind of got access. It's kind of got increased now because of what's happening with Corona. I think traditional B2B selling is really tough now. Overall, I would say the enterprise model is very, very challenging today because you need to have multiple stakeholders. You know, I mean, you've been in the industry for a long time. You know how it works. unless you go and meet them and we're sitting there and spending that time, you will not. It's not about, typically enterprise is a lot about who you know as opposed to what you do. And today, you know, that's harder. So, and I also feel that, of course, I'm a very passionate Indian. I love my country, and I look at the startup founders in India, people like you, me, and, you know, all of us. I think, very honestly speaking, startup founders are going to play a big role in the recovery of India from where we are today. There is absolutely nobody else. I will tell this very, very openly and on a public forum. I don't know any other demographic of people in the country who are going to change this country more than startup founders. Even today, the coronavirus, the pandemic that we had, how are we getting through? It was not because of legacy companies. It was because your Swiggies and Zomatos and the startups used to come deliver it in your apartment, in your house. Otherwise, India would have been a huge mess if that didn't happen. So I'm passionate about founders, and that's the reason we're doing this. Not because we don't have enterprises who want solutions. Of course, we do have them, and we work in some capacity. But our we're a small company, and where we spend our time is very, very critical to us. And we've taken this decision very consciously that you know, we are all out here to support and work with startups.
Yeah. So is there anything specific you're doing to reach out to them?
To reach out, not really specific. Of course, I'll give you a couple of examples. Of course, we are part of NASSCOM 10,000 Startups. That's a, it's as you know, a marquee incubator here in India. And of course, I have a lot of friends at NASSCOM, and a lot of the initial customers were people in the ecosystem who used to kind of give us feedback, and we have worked. And secondly, of course, as you know, we're doing League of Extraordinary Startups. It's along with you know, Vijeta Shastri, who's a good friend of, I think, you also as well. We both are extremely passionate about founders and how can we help come together, build this community. And I'm very fortunate, and I thank him publicly again for agreeing to partner with me on this and kind of evangelize this whole mission at XS. And we're also doing Startup Sunday, which again is a new campaign, new thing we have started. This is a, which I call the informal boardroom. I think every startup founder needs that few people that he can talk to about his business, apart from his team and maybe his spouse or maybe his investors. Right? You want some friends also who can share some insights. And only founders, I think, can share those kind of insights, because we are doing this day in and day out. There is nobody else who can really give you that kind of insight as another founder. These are the two, three main things we are doing around startups. Of course, we'll do a lot more, maybe focused activation campaigns, but not feeling the need for it, actually. Or I always believe that things evolve very organically for us. We are never a company that says, hey, here's our big launch or here's our big campaign. No, we do our thing every day. And it's a big grind that every day we do. And when you do it for four and a half years, 5 years, there is a lot of things that are already, you know, kind of happening and moving. So that's how I have approached this whole thing.
So tell me, where are you today in terms of revenue, and where do you see, for example, in March? Where do you see yourself in March?
I generally, you know, now with what's happened in COVID, I don't think anybody in the world can say where they're going to be in March. Let's be very honest about that. If anybody says here is where we know and we're going to be here, well, I'd be like, hey, get up. We have to wake up, right? And I'm very open to that. As an entrepreneur, one thing I've learned is that it's always easy for you to set some hard goals and say, I want to go there. But, you know, many times life happens to you.
Sure.
And a lot of the things in life you don't really plan. And, you know, the beauty of that is that how well do you react when things happen? You know, it's one of the great things that I've learned, and I practice this myself, right? What are the few things we are learning? Where do we expect to go in March? Revenue, I would say that obviously from the conferencing aspect, we have had to rethink our strategy. See, when you have the largest companies in the world suddenly drop their price to zero. And if I go and say that pay 500 rupees, I don't think anybody is going to pay. Okay. But that being said, they were supposed to roll back. And these are all American companies who are out here in India. And I will call this out. I would you know, really ask the Indian entrepreneurs, founders to read up what is anti-competition, what is tying of products in the marketplace, capital dumping. These are very serious things that we should be worried about, right? So now that they have extended this so-called pre-plan till March, we don't keep revenue as our metric right now, on conferencing specifically. We cannot. It's very naive to do that. But I believe the challenge is not about conferencing again today. Yes, if you don't use one, you will use the other today. That's how it's become. There is no customer loyalty today in conferencing, right? It's reduced at least. But what is very important now to March for me, for not only for me, but for every startup founder, for every business, is business itself for them. Not the fact that I can just communicate with somebody, but can I grow the business? So our focus now is purely tools that are enabling salespeople, CEOs, startup CEOs, anyone in the business side to be able to attract, retain and convert customers on video. That's our, as I said, even yesterday, I was briefly discussing this. That is the challenge that everybody wants. Today, every startup founder wants only one thing, I will tell you. Before it was funding. Today, people have realized that, hey, it's not funding, I need customers. And that's what we want to focus on. We want to help startup founders basically get customers. That's our only, it's not about whether you want to communicate via XYZ. And that's our play going forward. And I think we have the story in place. We have some really exciting announcements coming up. But yeah, that's really where we are. I don't see any of the incumbents actually coming in there and doing it because they have certain different business model that they need to pursue because of what who they already are and what they do. For us, our focus has always been towards external communications, focusing on customer and business and that aspect of it. So that I think will be a lot more, we'll increase that kind of innovation and increase the number of features that we are adding as well to help in that whole thing. So that's going to happen. See, from a revenue standpoint, it's difficult to give numbers. So I'll be very honest with you. I'm confident we're already at Raman. We're hit during Raman profitability very comfortably, even in these tough scenarios, because people are really, people have told me that mine is the best webinar platform today on the planet. And these are people who use not only Zoom, they use Webinar Jam, Ever Webinar, the top web demo of top webinar platforms. And they say that what we can do with Vidphone webinars, we are unable to do with those, right? And I feel that's going to be unlocking a lot of revenue for us on the webinar side of things. Conferencing, we are not, you know, our goal also has been to enable conferencing that's free for everyone because it's really important today. I've seen my own, you know, father, for example, use it with his customers who are 75 plus. And it's an amazing thing to watch. So we want to enable these things, enable these connections to continue. So we keep that free. We don't really want to look at too much of a kind of pressure on us on monetization on conferencing because it's unfair, I think, when you have large companies. But at the same time, when we're working on this whole video sales, which is today our focus. And again, the thesis there is that we don't go thinking that we need to get X revenue from a customer. We don't think of business this way. We really, and we have always thought of it as, are we becoming indispensable to this business? And today, let me tell you that the customers that we work with, paying customers of ours, I'm very happy to say that, and I'm very proud to say that a large part of their business model depends on our product. They cannot replace us with something else because it is integrated into their product. And these are customers who use it 2 hours a day, 4 hours a day, every day for the past 6 months, 8 months. So that is the kind of usage that we see. That's our focus. We are keeping things open, but at the same time, I think we have some broad idea of how this is going to work out in the next 6 months. But I think I cannot say that exactly I'm going to be here in March. That's tough. Really sure. Depends on external factors, government, corona, if they open it up, things change. It's too much uncertainty right now, especially with the corona pandemic.
Fair enough.
A lot of things have changed in 6 months. Okay. Today, you know, 6 months ago, people were not thinking that, hey, am I going to be alive 15 days from now? And let's be very clear about that. You know, that's before we were not even thinking about this. Today, everybody is thinking about it. If he coughs, he's thinking, hey, what the hell is happening? So life has changed. The world has changed. Founders need to think now very, very far. I'm talking only to startup founders today. And this is because I think we are on a kind of mission, everybody collectively, to kind of make the world a better place, not just to make profit. That's very important. That's what separates startups from corporations. And that's a very important spirit to have today. That spirit to drive change is more important than the spirit for revenue or profit. This, I think, is very important today. And our model also is that only if a startup's getting value from us is that they are going to pay us anything. We have changed the model completely. We are going to give you all the value you need even before you pay us a single rupee. And this is how we build them. In fact, you can use Vidphone and draw benefits from it and start driving new customers, talking to them on video chat and converting them free of cost. Even if you do revenue on our free plan today, you won't need to pay us. That's how we want the model to be. If you want to grow more, yes, you can pay us a small fraction of it I'm sure you'll get compounded benefits on that. So that's our mantra going forward. It's a value first, pay next model.
Wonderful.
SaaS Stories is brought to you by PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. PitchLink enables high-quality interactions between buyers and sellers through presentation and discussion modules. Sellers create personalized sales presentations and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement. PitchLink requires no installation or download and holds the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversation. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without intrusion. Call us on 990-216-3132. That is 990-216-3132.
Jagat, thank you very much. I really appreciate your taking time. It was lovely chatting with you. And always, whenever I chat with you, we discuss lots of things. We discuss business. We discuss philosophy. I think continuing to discuss philosophy is critical, because that's what sort of provides you the North Star. Jagat, thank you very much. You have a wonderful day, and I'll talk to you soon.
Pleasure. And I've learned a lot, always talking with you, and we should continue engaging. Thanks so much for inviting me. Pleasure.
While we continue to speak with founders of emerging and growing SaaS companies, from time to time, we will bring you focused chats with experts on critical topics that determine success in SaaS. The first of which is coming up next, a very special episode on churn, an in-depth and data-rich conversation with Carl Gold, Chief Data Scientist of Zuora and author of the book Fighting Churn with Data.
Zuora is a platform for subscription companies of all kinds to run their business. Now, Zuora mainly historically has served SaaS companies, and they're our largest single group of customers still today are SaaS companies. So the index is we take anonymized and aggregated data that we collect on the platform, and we calculate things like the average churn rate, among others. Because our system is managing the subscriptions for, around 1,000 companies today, if we can actually empirically answer the question of, what's an average churn rate, when you look at a lot of companies that are active in different market segments. We did see in the spring the highest average churn rate that we've seen in several years. But it was only higher than the previous months by a couple of percent. I mean, it was strange. You wonder why. It's because there were some companies that are slowed down by COVID. So some SaaS companies operating in, that their product relates to travel, obviously, they probably saw a big churn spike. But then you have all the other SaaS companies that have seen shelter in place as a boost to their business, because everyone needs home productivity tools. I can mention the company Zoom Video. Zoom Video runs their business on Zuora, and they saw their business explode.
We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes with great conversations. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you do not miss a single episode. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today and listening to this episode of SaaS Stories. This is where I speak with the dreamers and visionaries who dared to think ahead and built world-class SaaS products. We hope this conversation helped you with the insights that you can go and apply right now to your own SaaS journey. We hope to have you here with us again in the next episode of SaaS Stories. SaaS Stories is brought to you by PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. SaaS Insider, the definitive community for global SaaS, and is a BizCast original production.